In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Holy Apostle Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, speaks about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And he talks about how there are lots of gifts, and they're all good. And these include things like prophecy, speaking a word of truth, teaching, being able to help people understand, having wisdom, having gifts of healings, and so on. And he says all of these things are good. They're all good. But, he says, the greatest gift of all, the one without which the other ones have no meaning, is the gift of love. The gift of love. This is the gift, brothers and sisters, that we must earnestly seek, that we must want with all our hearts, that we must seek to cultivate in our lives. Because we can have lots of other gifts and lots of other abilities and lots of other talents. But if we don't have love, St. Paul says, we're like a clanging cymbal, just noise, just noise. Love is what gives whatever other gifts we have their true character. It's what gives taste and fragrance to our lives. And without love, there's no fragrance. Without love, life is tasteless, insipid. It's dull. It loses its meaning. So St. Paul says that we should seek this gift of love. And it's amazing because he says, you know, even if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all mysteries, and had all knowledge, and had all faith, and I had faith, the kind of faith that could move a mountain, you know, like you could say to a mountain, move, and it would move. If you have faith like that, he says, it's nothing without love. Nothing. And he says, even if I gave all my goods away to feed the poor, and even if I give my body to be burned, but if I have love, it profits me nothing. Could be martyrs. But if we did it for some other motive, I don't know how you would do that, but if you had some other motive for being a martyr, then it would profit you nothing. It would do you no good. So he calls us to the highest gift of love. And you know, the amazing thing about the gift of love is that we can participate in the giving of it. We can participate in giving the gift of love. Now, of course, all spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't receive that gift. So we have to continually beseech the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of love. But you know, when we show love to one another, when I love my brother, I soften his heart and I open him up to receiving the gift of love. We can participate in that. I can't participate in giving you the gift of prophecy. I could pray for you to have it, but not in that same concrete way. I can't participate in your receiving whatever talents God has given you because He's already given them to you. But the gift of love is one that I not only can I help you receive, but I must. It's my job. And I don't just say that because I'm a priest, but because I'm a Christian, and I'm your brother, and I'm your father, and I'm your family. And so we all have to do this for each other. When we show love to one another, when we act out of love, we show kindness, and not for some ulterior motive, like I'm going to be nice to you so that you can give me something. No, for no other reason than just because you're my sister and I love you. When I show you love like that, that softens your heart, and you become open to receiving the gift of love. So we have to help each other receive this gift. We have to continually help one another to grow in love. But indeed, perfect love comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from above, just like every gift of grace. Saint Euthymius the Great says that as salt is to bread, so is love to the other virtues. You know, we want to cultivate virtues. We want to grow in things like self-control. We want to grow in our ability to be humble, not proud. But it's love that gives the flavor, that gives the fragrance to our virtues. And so love is what we most of all must grow, must cultivate in our life. And you know, love is not simply a feeling. A lot of times we think like, well, if I don't feel love for somebody, I don't love them. And there's some truth to that. Because if everything was working right within us, we would certainly feel love for the people around us. And there's something wrong within us when we don't. Something's off, something's not right. But the fact is, all of us have something off. All of us have something not right. All of us need healing, need spiritual healing. So we don't always feel the way we ought to feel. Our feelings don't always cooperate with our thoughts and with our what we really want, what's in our hearts. Sometimes our feelings are just out of whack, out of control. And so we can't rely on our feelings to know whether we love or ought to love. Like, I don't feel like loving you today, so I'm not going to love you today. It's not supposed to work like that. Not at all. Not at all. And certainly, this is especially the case when it comes to the relationships that are the closest to us. Our husbands, our wives, our children, our brothers, sisters, the community within the church. Now, we're to love even our enemies. We're to love even the people that we don't know, because they're part of the same human race. And we're all created to be one. So we're called, to the extent that we're able to love even them. But with each other, with the people who are nearest and dearest to us, we can oftentimes not feel like being loving. You know, you get up in the morning and right away you're irritating each other. You know, right away somebody is saying something that's frustrating or irritating, and our immediate reaction is to get defensive or to whatever. And so it can be a struggle to love. And so if I got up and my kids were irritating me and my wife said something that frustrated me or something like that, and I said, well, I don't feel like loving them, so I'm just not going to love them today. Would that be right? No, of course not. Of course not. It seems obvious. But the point is that we have to work at loving, that we have to work at it. That's something to cultivate. It's an activity. It's an energy. And it's an energy that God gives us. We have the ability to do it. We just have to be willing to show love. And just like all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, they have to be exercised or else we lose them. Like God gives us grace to love, and then you say, I don't feel like doing that, and then you lose the grace. And then maybe you have to struggle and pray and weep for that grace to come back. And it comes back, and let's not lose it. You know, let's preserve it. If God gives us the grace, then we have to use it. We have to invest it. And you know what? If you're at the liturgy and you're receiving the body and blood of Christ, then you're receiving grace to love. So don't squander it. So when we go out of the liturgy, we should seek opportunities to love, to invest that grace that we've been given so that it returns to us manyfold, and we don't squander that talent, that grace. We don't bury it in the ground. That's not what we want to do. We want to use it for good. So we have to exercise these gifts, and especially this gift of love. There are many saints whose lives we could mention who show incredible examples of what it is to love. But one who comes to mind for me is Saint Paulinus of Nola. He's called Paulinus of Nola because he was bishop in Nola, Italy, but he's also often referred to as Saint Paulinus the Merciful. And by the way, we have two bells that we named. One is Moses and one is Paulinus, named after this Saint Paulinus, because he was associated with the first use of bells in the West, in Italy where he was, for church services. But Saint Paulinus is called the Merciful for many things that he did, but especially one. It was at a certain point when there were invaders coming from North Africa into Italy, and they were abducting people, and there was a certain woman whose young adult son had been abducted and taken into slavery. He was made a slave. And so she came to St. Paulinus and asked him to do something. And he said, well, you know, what can I do? But he realized there was something that he could do. Somehow, he found where the son was and who had abducted him, and he went and exchanged himself for the son, so that the son went free and was able to return to his mother, and instead St. Paulinus became a slave. He just made a deal with the slaveholder. He said, I'll be the slave instead of him. And so he did. And he was a slave for a number of years. But finally, that the master, the slaveholder, just recognized what a godly man he was. And he came to respect him, and he let him go. He let him go free. But this is incredible, that he gave his life for this young man, and out of love for this woman whose heart was broken because she lost her son. And of course, this is an extreme example. This is a very striking example, you know, out of the ordinary. And oftentimes, we're not called upon to do something quite so heroic. We may be. We may be called upon to do something very heroic. But you know, a lot of heroism, and more importantly, most of the love that we're called to show in our life is more mundane than that. It's more everyday. It's more just being faithful day in, day out. Struggling to love, even when we don't feel like it. Struggling to love, even when we fail again and again and again. But we get back up and we ask for forgiveness and we say, I want to love. God, help me to love my brother, my sister, my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, whoever it is. And another saint who really embodies that day in, day out kind of love is St. Juliana of Lazarevo. St. Juliana, who lived in Russia in the 16th century, and she had many children, and she lost some of those children very young, but she was a saint simply because of her faithfulness as a mother, that she loved her children. She loved those around her, day in, day out, year after year. And that's how she became sanctified. And if we feel that we fall short in loving, how do we grow? How do we increase that love? Other than by begging God to give us the gift, which of course he's willing to give because it's the greatest gift and he wants for each of us to be loving. So we pray for it, but we also practice being loving. Even when we don't feel like loving, we be loving, we act loving, we do loving things, we show kindness. And again and again and again, if we will practice this, we will see that the more we sacrifice for another person, the more we love that person. Again, if I don't feel like loving you, but I make sacrifices for you again and again and again, God can open my heart, expand my heart to make it more capable of loving you. In today's gospel, Jesus cast the demons out of these demoniacs. And you know, there's something so striking about this passage, because in many gospel passages, the Lord has many words to say, and he speaks eloquently, beautiful words, you know, teachings for our salvation. But in today's gospel passage, you know, he only says one word in the whole passage. And what word is that? Go. Go. That was it. And that was all he had to say. Because when Jesus says go, the demons go. He doesn't have to explain to them how to go or where to go or whatever. He just says go and they go. In fact, he did let them go into a particular place, which was into the pigs. But the point is, when Jesus says go, they go. And he has the power to cast out demons. And he has power to cast out the demons that plague us. What demons, you ask? To the demon of selfishness, Jesus says go. To the demon of pride and ego, Jesus says go. To the demon of wanting our own way, Jesus says go. To the demon of envying others, Jesus says go. To every demon of every passion which prevents us from loving, Jesus has the power to cast it out, to say go, to deliver us and to enable us to love. And you know, love always requires humility. It always requires that we give up our ego. It always requires that we sacrifice our selfishness. So love and humility go together. They go hand in hand. And we could say humility is the negative aspect of love. Love's the positive, what we're called to do. Humility is what we're called to get rid of. Letting go, emptying ourselves, getting rid of what prevents us from loving. Love is the fresh air of the Spirit that fills our lungs when we cough out the smoke of pride. So this is what we're seeking. And what I'd like to end with is a beautiful litany of humility that somebody sent me a few years ago. And I think we could also call it the litany of love. Listen, brothers and sisters, to this litany of humility and love. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, from the desire of being loved, from the desire of being extolled, from the desire of being honored, from the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred, from the desire of being consulted, from the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, from the fear of being despised, from the fear of suffering rebukes, from the fear of being calumniated, from the fear of being forgotten, from the fear of being ridiculed, from the fear of being wronged, from the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus, that others may be loved more than I, that others may be esteemed more than I, that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease, that others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Amen.